الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد continuing with العقيدة الواسطية of شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله. And alhamdulillah, ikhwan, we reached the chapter where Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala is going to discuss some of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are found in the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he starts off by mentioning a brief introduction to this, explaining the intent of this chapter. He has Faslun chapter Thumma fi sunnati Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fa sunnah tufassiru al-Qur'an wa tubayyinuhu wa tadullu alayhi wa tu'abbir an. So Shaykh al-Islam, he said, additionally in the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sunnah explains the Qur'an, establishes what the Qur'an establishes and clarifies it. Shaykh al-Fawzan, he mentioned, he said, الشرح قوله, the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah, ثُمَّ فِي سُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ هَذَا عَطْفٌ عَلَى قَوْلِهِ فِي مَا سَبَقُ. So when Ibn Taymiyyah said here, additionally in the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, then this is connected to his earlier statement when he said, وَقَدْ دَخَلَ فِي هَذِهِ الْجُمْلَةِ مَا وَصَفَ اللَّهُ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ فِي سُورَةِ الْإِخْلَاصِ إِلَىٰ آخِرِهِ. So this statement here is connected to an earlier statement of Ibn Taymiyyah when he said, an example of what Allah describes Himself with is found in Surah Al-Ikhlas to the end of his statement. Additionally, in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أي دخل فيها ما وصف به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ربه فيما وردت به السنة الصحيحة. Meaning, also what falls under this is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described his Lord with, which is found in the authentic sunnah. Na'am. We affirm the names and attributes of Allah azza wa jal tabaraka wa ta'ala that we find in the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we say the authentic sunnah, we mean that which is accepted, that which is sahih, that which is authentic, or that which is hasan, that which is sound, meaning that which is established from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh al-Fawzan, he said, لِأَنَّ السُنَّةَ هِيَ الْأَصْلَ الثَّانِي الَّذِي يَجِبَ الرُّجُوعِ إِلَيْهِ بَعْدَ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. And this is because, brothers and sisters, the sunnah is the second foundation after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it is obligatory to return to. Now we have to return to the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah azza wa jalla, he said, tabaraka wa ta'ala, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ, if you differ in anything. And look, حَبِذُكُمُ اللَّهِ, Allah azza wa jalla, he said, فِي شَيْءٍ, if you differ concerning anything, any of the matters of the religion, what do you do? فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ, then return it to Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَرَدْ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرُّجُوعِ إِلَى كِتَابِهِ, returning the affair to Allah is to return to His book, to return to the Qur'an. What does the Qur'an say about this matter? فِإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ, if you disagree with anyone, whether it's a brother, whether it's a child, whether it's a spouse, any matter of dispute concerning the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ, then Allah Azza wa Jal tabaraka wa ta'ala, He tells us how to remedy it. How do we remedy it? Does a person returning back to their hawa, their desires? No. Does a person returning back to their tajriba, their experience? No. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ, return it to Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. والرد إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد وفاته هو الرجوع إلى سنته صلى الله عليه وسلم. And returning it to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم after his death is to return to his sunnah. Is to return to his sunnah. والسنة لغة and sunnah in the Arabic language it means a طريقة, way or path. السنة لغة in the Arabic language it means a tariqa, a way or a path. واصطلاحاً, and in the religion of Islam, when we say sunnah, then the intent is what here ما ورد عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من قول أو فعل أو تقرير. That which is established from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, from his statements, actions and approvals. So when we hear the word sunnah, the meaning of sunnah here, ثُمَّ فِي سُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Additionally, in the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, then the sunnah is what? مَا وَرَدَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. That which is established from the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And Shaykh al-Fawzan, then he goes on to discuss مَكَانَةُ السُنَّةِ, because Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he speaks about the lofty station of the sunnah. And ikhwan, it's important that we learn this. It is important that we learn this. Why? Because walillah alhamd wal minna, we are the people of the sunnah and the jama'ah. Ahlul sunnati wal jama'ah. Ahlul hadith. And ahlul sunnati wal jama'ah, they are at-ta'ifat al-munsura wal-furqat al-najiyah. They are the victorious group and the safe saint. And for example, in our time, we have individuals, just a few days ago, somebody brought to my attention an individual, they call him Mufti so-and-so. In the United Kingdom, he's claiming that Bukhari, Sahih Bukhari, is not authentically from the work of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. And there are many kadhabun, liars, in this time. The only people who can respond to them are who? The people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. However, responding to هؤلاء المبتلون, it requires ilm. It requires knowledge. You're not going to be able to do it based upon hawa, desires, nor based upon your emotions, not based upon your love for a particular individual. The only way that you will be able to respond is ilm. قال الله, Allah said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, قال الصحابة. That requires from you to what? Learn ilm al-nahu, knowledge of the Arabic language. That requires from you what? To learn ilm al-mustalah, knowledge of the science of hadith. And ilm al-ala in general. The only people that are fit for this task, and the only people that are up for this task, in a world where you have many dakatira, how many doctors do we have today? More than ever. However, how many of them do you see vocal defending the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla? When individuals appear attacking the most authentic collection of hadith according to the people of the sunnah and the jama'ah. And these people, they bring shubahat. Inshallah ta'ala, by that now we started refuting that statement, clarifying his jahl. But he has doubts, no doubt. Where did he get these doubts from? Either he got them from the mustashriqun, the orientalists, or he got them, wallahu a'lam, from some of the people of innovation, the Shia or the like. Naam. But the refutation is easy for the one whom Allah Azza wa Jalla makes it easy for. But the refutation requires what? Knowledge. You're not going to be able to do it just based upon taqleed, blind following. It requires for us to sit and to learn. That's why some of the people of the past, they used to say, knowledge is not acquired, ماذا, with the ease and the relaxation of the body. It's going to take for you a effort. And the one, the ajr is azim, no, the reward is great. Remember, the reward is great because the one who defends the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, he is performing jihad fi sabilillah, as the Salaf they said. The one who defends the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, he is performing jihad in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now, so it's important that we study this book and the other books of ilm So that Alhamdulillah, the person of the Sunnah awwalan can worship Allah Azza wa Jalla upon knowledge. And likewise can call upon knowledge. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. And who is better in speech than the one who calls to Allah and does righteous deeds? But giving da'wah requires knowledge. And also, part of da'wah is responding to the doubts of either the disbelievers or the people of innovation and misguidance, and that requires ilm, knowledge. You're not going to be able to do that just by looking at YouTube videos. You're not going to be able to do that by just watching Facebook and following what's happening on a daily basis. No, it's going to require knowledge and dedication and sacrifice. Ash-Shaykh al-Fawzan, he said, مَكَانَةُ السُنَّةِ, the station of the Sunnah. Why is it necessary to discuss the station of the Sunnah? Because the people of Bid'ah, Ahlul Bid'ati wa Dhalala, they can't reject what comes in the Qur'an. Because it's found in the book of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Because whoever rejects a harf from the Qur'an is disbelieved. So you find that when it comes to the Qur'an, they try and distort the meaning in order to support their falsehood. But with the Sunnah, the people of Bid'ah are various types. You have those people of misguidance, they reject the Sunnah outright, the Qur'aniyun. They say, we don't accept the Sunnah. The refutation on that is sad. How do you pray? Because that's the description of Salah is not found in the Qur'an. That's in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray as you have seen me pray. That requires the Sunnah. How do you fast? That requires the Sunnah. How do you give zakat? That requires the Sunnah. For the tafasir, the details of those affairs. Then you have others from the people of Bid'ah. They say, we accept the Sunnah generally, but as it pertains to Aqeedah, we don't accept Akhbar al-Ahad. We don't accept Ahadith that do not reach the level of Mutawatir. Again, falsafa, philosophy. Look at the plots and the plans of the people of innovation, Ikhwan. Open your eyes to them. See how they're relentless. In order for them to give precedence to their desires, they come with all types of doubts. So those who say that we don't reject the Sunnah outright, but we don't accept Akhbar al-Ahad, even if the hadith is authentic, we don't accept it in aqeedah. Falsafa, philosophy. Ma anzallah biha min sultan. Naam. So the Shaykh, he mentions, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, the station of the Sunnah. فَالسُنَّةَ تُفَسِّرُ الْقُرْآنِ. The Sunnah explains the Qur'an. أَيْ تُبَيِّنُ مَعَانِهِ وَمَقَاسِدَهِ. The Sunnah, it clarifies the meanings of the Qur'an and the objectives of the book of Allah تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. فَإِنَّ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُبَيِّنُ لِلنَّاسِ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ. For verily, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم explained to the people what was revealed to him. قال الله تعالى, Allah عز وجل said in Surah An-Nahl, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيْنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. And we revealed to you the Qur'an that you may explain clearly to men what is revealed to them. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ. And we revealed to you the dhikr, referring to the Qur'an, لِتُبَيْنَ لِلنَّاسِ, so that you can explain to the people مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. So look, the Sunnah explains the Qur'an. وَالسُنَّةَ أَيْضًا تُبَيِّنَ الْقُرْآنِ. The Sunnah also clarifies and elaborates upon the Qur'an. Meaning what? تُوَضِّحُ مُجْمَلَهُ كَالصَّلَاةِ. The Sunnah clarifies what has been mentioned in a general manner in the Qur'an. Like the prayer. We find the command to pray. With regards to what to recite. With regards to how do you make sujood. With regards to what do you say in sujood, the details are found in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, the Sunnah clarifies the details of the fast. We find in the Quran the command to fast. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Fasting has been prescribed for you, made obligatory. It's wajib. How do you fast? The details with regards to what you eat. ماذا to break your fast. We find that in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sunnah is to eat dates. Likewise, with regards to what breaks the fast, we find some of the things mentioned in the Quran, but we find also other things mentioned in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With regards to the one who vomits intentionally, that is mentioned in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, as zakat and al hajj, wa ghalib al ahkam allati ta'ti mujmala fil Quran tubayyinuha as sunnah an nabawiyyah. And likewise, the other rulings that are mentioned in a general manner in the Quran, and they are clarified further in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ikhwan, the relationship of the Sunnah and the Quran, who can explain the relationship of the Sunnah to the Quran? The ulama of Islam, they mentioned the relationship of the Sunnah to the Quran can be divided into three categories. The relationship of the Sunnah to the Quran can be divided into three categories. Anyone, what's the first? I'll give you the first to clarify the intent of the question. The first is that the Sunnah emphasizes what is found in the Quran. That's the first. Jay, that's the second, and we mentioned that already. The Sunnah explains what the Quran has mentioned in a general manner, like for example the prayer. So we said first, the Sunnah emphasizes something that is found in the Quran. Something is mentioned in the Quran, we find the Sunnah to akidu. It emphasizes that. And ma'adha supports it. The second explains, the Sunnah explains what is mentioned in the Quran in a general fashion. What is the third? The Sunnah comes with a ruling or a matter that we do not find in the Quran. And I want you to go home and find an example of the third for me. Something that we find in the Sunnah that we do not find mentioned in the Quran. Not now, tomorrow. I want everyone to go away and find me something that is established, a hukam, a ruling that is established by the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we don't find it in the Quran. Ladan. Na'am. So everyone, that's the question for tomorrow. Find for me an example of a judgment or a ruling that is found in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we do not find it in the Book of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The three, that the Sunnah, it emphasizes something that is found in the Quran. The Sunnah, it emphasizes something that is found in the Quran. That's the first. The second is that the Sunnah explains something that is found in the Quran, mentioned in a general fashion, but the Sunnah clarifies the details, like the prayer. The third is that the Sunnah establishes a ruling that is not found in the Book of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The Sunnah establishes a ruling that is not found in the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. Then Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he continues, he said, وَمَا وَصَفَ الرَّسُولُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِهِ رَبَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ من الأحاديث الصحاح التي تلقاها أهل المعرفة بالقبول وجب الإيمان بها كذلك. Now he explains the intent of this chapter. Whatever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam described his Lord with, the mighty and majestic, from those ahadith that are authentic. والمراد هنا بالصحاح أي الحديث المقبول الصحيح أو الحسن. When he said, Ibn Taymiyyah said, whatever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described his Lord with, the mighty and majestic, from those ahadith that are authentic and have been accepted by the people of understanding, meaning Ahl al-Hadith, the scholars of Hadith, then it is obligatory to have faith in all of them likewise. Meaning any name of Allah, attribute of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, that we find in the authentic Sunnah, we have to believe in it. Ikhwan, how do we know that the intent here When Shaykh al-Islam said, وَمَا وَصَفَ الرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِهِ رَبَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مِنَ الْأَحَدِثَ السِّحَاحِ الَّتِي تَلَقَّاهَا أَهْلُ الْمَعْرِفَةِ بِالْقَبُولِ. Whatever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described his Lord with, the mighty and majestic, from those ahadith that are authentic. How do we know that the intent here of sihah is referring to that which is sahih and that which is hasan? How? Somebody may say, Ibn Taymiyyah said sahih, why are you saying hasan? Naam, because Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is going to mention in this chapter a hadith that are hasan, meaning they don't reach the level of sahih. Why is that, Ikhwan? Because if you go to the earlier scholars, they would have the hadith which is accepted and the hadith which is rejected. The hadith that was accepted, naam, is the hadith which is sahih, authentic, or hasan, sound. So that would be one category. They would both fall under those ahadith which are accepted. Ayla ahadith al-maqboola. And then you will have those ahadith which are rejected, meaning those which are ضعيفه, those which are weak. So when Shaykh al-Islam says, من الأحاديث الصحاح, he's referring to those ahadith which are accepted, meaning whether it's sahih, authentic, or hasan, whether it's sound. Look, Ikhwan, as well. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned a beautiful statement, وَإِنْشَاءَ نَذْكُرُهُ بَعْدَ قَلِيلٍ. And there's another benefit in that. But he said, whatever the Messenger of Allah described his Lord with, the mighty and majestic, from those ahadith that are authentic and have been accepted by the people of understanding, then it is obligatory to have faith in all of them likewise. كَمَا يَجِبَ الْإِيمَانِ بِمَا وَصَفَ اللَّهُ بِهِ نَفْسُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ. So just like حَبِذُكُمُ اللَّهُ, it is obligatory to believe in what Allah described Himself with in the Qur'an. Also it is obligatory for us to believe in whatever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described Allah with in the authentic sunnah. Is that clear to everyone? Is that wadih? There's no difference between the two. It's obligatory for us to believe in whatever Allah described Himself with in the Qur'an. Likewise, it is obligatory for us to believe in whatever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described his Lord with in the authentic sunnah. لِأَنَّ النَّبِيَّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كَمَا وَصَفَهُ رَبُّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ بِقَوْلِهِ. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Allah azza wa jal described him with his saying, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He does not speak of his desires. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. It is nothing but revelation revealed to him. The sunnah is wahi. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is revelation. Like the Qur'an is revelation, the sunnah is revelation. As for the Qur'an, then alhamdulillah, the Qur'an, we don't have to look into the authenticity. It's an ayah in the Qur'an, that's we accept it. As we said, whoever rejects a harf of the Qur'an disbelieves. An ayah of the Qur'an is accepted. The only thing from the Qur'an that has to be established, is it being utilized and quoted in the correct fashion? Does it prove what the person has mentioned it for? However, with the hadith, the individual has to look ila jihatayn, from two angles. أولاً, هل ثبت هذا الحديث? Is the hadith authentic? And then secondly, likewise, is the hadith a proof of what he has cited it for? Is that clear to everyone? So Shaykh al-Fawzan, he said, فَالسُنَّةِ أَلَّتِي نَتَقَ بِهَا الرَّسُولُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَحْيٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. The sunnah which was spoken by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal. That is why the expression, when some people say the majority of the sunnah is revelation, that's a khatr. All of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is wahy. All of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is revelation. As Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He does not speak of his desires. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. It is nothing but revelation revealed to him. All of the sunnah is wahy. All of the sunnah is revelation. As Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى وَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. And Allah revealed to you the kitab, the book, and al-hikmah. What is the meaning of al-hikmah here? Who can answer without screaming out? Muhammad, faddal. As-sunnah, ma dalil? What's your proof? Ma indak dalil? Wallahu al-musta'an wa alayhi tuklan. Al-hikmah, he said his sunnah, which is right. What is the proof of that? Naam, lakin shay awdah. Something clearer than that. طيب, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily I have been given the Quran and it's like along with it. Something else. Fadl. Where? Naam, also ikhwan. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that ajma'a, that those whom I am pleased with from Ahl al-Ilm have unanimously agreed that when al-Hikmah is mentioned along with the Kitab, it's referring to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala in his book al-Risala, he mentions, he quotes ijma', a consensus of the scholars, that whenever the word al-hikmah is mentioned along with the kitab, with the book, al-hikmah is referring to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam, and the brother, he was referring to the ayah in Surah Al-Ahzab. That's another proof as well, in addition to the hadith that was mentioned. وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ. When Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, Tabarak wa ta'ala, the meaning being, and remember, and the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were being addressed, what is recited in your houses, min ayatillah, from the verses of Allah, wal hikmah, and al hikmah is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, al kitab is the Quran, and al hikmah is the sunnah. Fayajib al iman bima warada fi sunnah. So it is obligatory to believe in what is established in the sunnah, la siyama fi bab al i'tiqad, especially as it pertains to matters of belief. Especially as it pertains to matters of belief. As for this tafriq, ikhwan, saying, you know, I only accept a hadith that are mutawatir in aqidah, and I don't accept a hadith which are ahad, even though they're authentic, hadhi bid'atun i'tizaliyya. That's an innovation of the mu'tizila and the likes of the people of bid'ah. There's no basis for that. I only accept a hadith that are narrated by a large number of people as it pertains to aqidah. هَذَا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ. The Prophet ﷺ, when he sent Mu'ad ibn Jabal to Yemen, he sent him as one individual, one person, to call them to La ilaha illallah, to teach them aqidah, actually to teach them the foundation of the religion of Islam, the testimony that none has the right to be worshipped in truth except Allah Azza wa Jalla alone without any partners. One person. So look, the narration of one individual is accepted even in matters of aqidah. Now, if the hadith is authentic, we accept it. As for differentiating between ahad and mutawatir, that's from the ways of the people of kalam, theological rhetoric, which they got from the people of falsafa. Again, that was a ploy. That was a trick. Naam, that they employed. Why? Because they wanted to reject the sunnah. And if they came and they said, we're not going to accept the sunnah, obviously you're going to say, are you majnoon? Are you insane? But they present their poison in a more subtle fashion, hoping that people will be fooled by it. So they say, yes, we accept the sunnah generally, نقبل السنة عموما, لكن نفرق بين الآحاد والمتواتر. We differentiate between ahad and mutawatir. As for those ahadith which are mutawatir, narrated by a large number of people, we accept them in aqidah. As for those ahadith, even if they're in Bukhari, even if they're a Muslim, even if they're authentic, if they don't reach the level of mutawatir, we don't accept it in aqidah. Falsafa, ma anzallah biha min sultan. That was not known by the Sahaba, it wasn't known by the Tabi'un, it wasn't known by the Atba' al-Tabi'een, or any of the Imams of the religion. Rather, this was, again, one of the deviant ploys of the people of bid'ah innovation. Naam. الشيخ الفوزان then he said لكن لابد في قبول الحديث والإيمان به من ثبوت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So Sheikh al-Fawzan, he said, Ikhwan, concerning when the statement of Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, when he said, whatever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described his Lord, the Mighty and Majestic, with, from those ahadith that are authentic, he said, authentic, na'am, because, لكن لابد في قبول الحديث والإيمان به, in order to accept the hadith and believe in it, it is a must that it is authentically established from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning that it is established from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it's sahih or whether it's hasan, whether it's authentic or some. ولهذا قال الشيخ رحمه الله, and that is why Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he said من الأحاديث الصحاح والصحاح جمع الصحيح والحديث الصحيح. What's an authentic hadith, Ikhwan? Again, what is an authentic hadith? Who can tell me? Ahsant. It's a hadith that has to meet. Look, Ikhwan. Alhamdulillah, this is no other nation has been given this. No other nation has been given this. Ummat al-Islam, the Muslims, Allah Azza wa Jalla Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless them with this science. No other nation. If you go to a Christian and you start discussing with a Christian, how do you know that they'll say, well, I read it in the Bible? Bible, who wrote it? They'll say, I don't know. John. John, what's his name? لا يعرفونه. They don't know John. They don't know who he is. أخبار مجهولة. They have no clue who this person is. How can you accept narrations of individuals that came generations after Isa, Jesus, and you don't even know who they are? هذا مردود. That's rejected. Things can change. Imagine now, if somebody is not precise in their narration, or they lack integrity, you can imagine things can, a narration can change in a day and a night. So imagine generations. On top of that, they don't know who is the person that said it. They don't know who these individuals are. They're just names to them. In al-Islam walillahi alhamd, if we open any hadith in Bukhari, maybe inshallah, if we have time, maybe in one of the lessons coming up, maybe we can take a hadith in Bukhari and show how these conditions are met in order for the hadith to be authentic. Because this is not something just, you know, that is theoretical. Rather, this is applicable. These are things, alhamdulillah, that we find in the authentic narrations. This is how Bukhari compiled his sahih. Muslim compiled his sahih. When we look and we judge, is a hadith authentic? Are we going to accept it or not? There's guidelines. Five conditions have to be met. And again, these things, Ikhwan, they should be memorized, because these are things which you will need throughout your life as a Muslim. The hadith which is sahih, هو الحديث الذي اتصل سنده. It's the hadith that the chain of narration is connected. Meaning every person heard from the person who was next to him in the chain. So for example, if we had a narration, myself to Mustafa, to Basil. Mustafa heard from me, Basil heard from Mustafa, there's ittisal. Every person heard from the person who was next to them in the chain. Is that clear so far? That's wadih. So if Basil was to say now, Hassan said that it's not raining outside. Mustafa told him, I heard Hassan say it's not raining outside. This is ittisal. Every person heard from the person who was next to him in the chain. That's clear so far? هو الحديث الذي اتصل سنده. نعم يتفضل. هو الحديث الذي اتصل سنده بنقل العدل الضابط. It has to be narrated by somebody who is trustworthy. He has adala. Adala, trustworthy, he has integrity. He's not an open sinner. Somebody, for example, the chain of narration, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, you had Zayd. Zayd, you saw him walking in the street with a bottle of khamar. His narrations are not accepted. He's mujahid bil fisq. He doesn't have integrity. Or, for example, he's known to lie. He's known to lie. بِالنَّقْلِ الْعَدْلِ الضَّابِطِ. Also, the third condition, in addition to him being trustworthy and having integrity, he has to be precise in his narrations. Because it's possible for a person to be righteous and to be known for goodness
but they may be weak in their memory. That individual's hadith, somebody who has a weak memory and makes a lot of mistakes, his hadith is not accepted. If he was to narrate a hadith, huwa min qism al-da'if, if he makes mistakes and he has a weak memory. So that's the third condition. Huwa al-hadith alladhi ittasala sanadu bi-naqli al-'adl al-dhabit 'an mithlihi. Everyone in that chain has to be the same, every narrator. So for example, you had Mustafa to Basir, every one of them would have had to be what? They would have to be precise and they would have to be trustworthy. Ila muntaha, to the last person in the chain. Wala yakun shadhan wala mu'allala. And the hadith is not shad, meaning it's not something that is odd, strange. Huh? This is the fourth. So the first, ittisal al-sanad. The chain of narration has to be connected. We've explained what that means. The second, the narrators in the chain, they have to be trustworthy, have integrity. The third, they have to be precise in their narrations, accurate. Precision can be precision based upon their memory or precision based upon what they write. Now, showing the importance of writing. You may not have the best memory, but if you are accurate in what you write and then you protect your book, your narration would be acceptable. If you are known to be somebody that was accurate in recording what was said and you protected your book until it was time for you to narrate from it, then that's precision. There's two types of precision. ضبط الصدر وضبط الكتاب. Na'am. The fourth condition is... Huh? Yeah, shad, I was going to repeat shad. It's because la yakum shadan wala mu'allala. And we said shad, the fourth, a narration that is odd, it is strange. And I'll give an example. Shad, the ulama, they define it as mukhalafat al maqbool liman huwa awla minhu. Tawthiqan aw adada. Shad is a narration, an odd and a strange narration, is when a narrator who is, his narrations normally are accepted, he opposes someone who has a stronger memory than him, or they may all have the same level of precision, but a large number of people oppose his narration. I'll give an example. Say for example, we went outside. A car went past. Na'am. Myself, Hassan, Mustafa, Abdul Malik, Abu Zakaria. Tayyib. Four of them, everyone's level of dhabt, precision was the same, similar level of precision in terms of memorization. The car went past, four of them said that the car, it was a red car that passed the masjid. I said the car was blue. Even though my narrations normally are accepted, that narration right there is problematic, it's strange and it's odd. Why? Because those individuals who are four in number, who have the same level of memory as me, they said the car was red. Whose narration do we accept? We accept those four. Because they all said the same thing. We reject that which was odd and strange. Look at these principles, Ikhwan. That's, alhamdulillah, showing us the beauty of the science of hadith and showing us how Allah Azza wa Jal preserved the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, the hadith, the fifth condition, وَلَا يَكُمْ مُعَلَّلًا. It does not have any hidden defects. It does not have any hidden defects. And that's a discussion, what is a hidden defect? Na'am, for mustalah al-hadith. We don't want to make it a dars for mustalah. But why, Ikhwan, why did we say, and this is a question maybe that only a few of you will catch, those who have studied mustalah. Why do we say it's better to say the hadith is not shad or mu'allan rather than saying that the hadith, it doesn't have any illah and it doesn't have any shudud? Why is it better to say it's not shad and it's not mu'allan? Why? Naam, bila shak. The ulama al-mustalah, they say it's better to say the hadith should not be mu'allan, weak due to a hidden defect. Why? Because you can have an illa which is غير قاضحة. And that inshallah, if you read the books of Mustarah, that's why ikhwan, we don't have time. The person of the Sunni, الذي يحب العلم, that loves knowledge, that has a thirst for knowledge and wants to learn, they don't have time for قيل and قال. Because these are the things that a person wants to learn. علم الآلة, meaning the sciences of the religion. نحو, from that Arabic grammar. مصطلح, the science of hadith. The basics of usul al-fiqh. They are things to learn. All of that, alhamdulillah, has been documented by the scholars. And these things, these conditions, they're derived from the Quran and the Sunnah. The ulama never just made them up. And if you go away and you study these sciences, you will see how they are based upon what we find in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Somebody may say, where's the proof in the Quran for what you just mentioned? You just mentioned a whole lot about conditions for a hadith to be accepted. One of the proofs which is clear in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla is the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Hujarat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. O you who believe, if a sinner comes to you, then verify what he says. How do we benefit from that? We don't accept automatically, we don't accept the statement of the sinner. We don't accept his narration like that. A fasiq comes to us, we don't just accept their narrations. The opposite understanding to that ayah is what? If a trustworthy person comes to us, we accept their narration. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. So now, these principles that the scholars, these conditions, they derive from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Likewise, the principles of al-jarh wa ta'deel. And it's غريب and عجيب that you hear some students, they talk and they say, I've studied hadith, I've studied this. When they talk about these sciences, they don't even know, it seems like, where they came from. جرح وتعديل, criticism of narrators, where did it come from? It's in the Quran. تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبَّ. Perish be the two hands of Abu Lahab. That's جرح, that's a criticism. So that's a دليل, a proof that from the religion is جرح وتعديل. Some people say, no, جرح and تعديل is only for the narrators of hadith. Is Abu Lahab a narrator? إِشَ الْحَدِيثَ الَّذِي رَوَى. What hadith did he narrate? That's a جرح. جرح and تعديل is even in the courts. When the person goes to give testimony in the court, the judge has to look, is he a person that his testimony is accepted? So these things, ikhwan, even these, they derive from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at what Shaykh al-Islam said next. He said, تَلَقَّاهَا أَهْلُ الْمَعْرِفَةِ بِالْقُبُولِ. That's why the statement of everyone doesn't matter to us. He said, whatever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described his Lord with, the mighty and majestic, from names and attributes, from those ahadith that are authentic and have been accepted by the people of understanding. Whose opinion matters? The people of understanding. Who are the people of understanding here? They are ahl al-ilm, meaning ahl al-ilm bil-hadith, the scholars of hadith. فَلَا عِبْرَى بِغَيْرِهِمْ. We don't care about the opinion of anyone else. Are we going to come now and say, you know, what is the Orientalist? What does he say about this hadith? لَا عِبْرَى بِهِ. We don't care what he says. Somebody comes in 2018 like this miskeen mufti in the UK, Mufti Fulan, and he says, you know, Bukhari, we don't know, we can't ascertain and prove that Bukhari is actually the work of Bukhari. هذا كذب. أولاً, the Sahib al-Imam al-Bukhari, the ulama, they mentioned, they say 90,000 students heard it from Bukhari. 90,000. 90,000 people heard the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari from Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. The ulama talaqqatha bil-qubud. The ummah accepted it. Which is a proof in itself, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا تجتمعوا. My nation will not unite upon falsehood. You as a miskeen in 2018, Sahib Hawa, but you know why he wants to say Bukhari, we can't accept it? Because he's the same person saying you can say to the non-Muslims, Merry Christmas. He's the same person saying tattoos are okay. So in order to yumashi bid'atu wa dhalalahu, in order for him to spread his corruption, look, he has to try and attack al-Bukhari. Allahu a'lam where this individual is going to end up. Wallahu a'lam. Because the same doubts that he brings about al-Bukhari, the Orientalists, they try and raise it about the Qur'an. قَاتَلَ اللَّهُ الْهَوَى. Shaykh al-Islam said, تَلَقَّاهَا أَهْلُ الْمَعْرِفَةِ بِالْقُبُولِ. the people of understanding, they accept these ahadith. Meaning, if you're not from the people of understanding about this matter, meaning hadith, ahl al-hadith, we don't care what your opinion is. So if all of the muhaddithun, meaning from the people of the sunnah, accepted a hadith, khalas, we don't look at the statements of other than them. That is why the ulama Ibn Hajar said, إِن لَمْ أَكُنْ مُخْتِئًا مَنْ دَخَلَ فِي غَيْرِ فَنِّهِ أَتَى بِالْعَجَاءِ وَالْغَرَائِبِ. He said, whoever talks about other than his science, meaning if you're not a person who knows hadith, but you start talking about hadith, you're going to mention ridiculous things. If you're a person you don't know about nahu, when you start talking about Arabic grammar, you're going to come with ridiculous statements. If you're a person you've never studied as a science, and you start talking about it like you're an expert, you're going to make ridiculous statements. So if we're looking at hadith, whose statements do we look for? The scholars of hadith. The ulama of hadith. And that's why Shaykh al-Islam, he said, تَلَقَّاهَا أَهْلُ الْمَعْرِفَةِ بِالْقُبُولِ. Meaning what? Meaning the people of understanding, the scholars of hadith, accepted these ahadith and relied upon them. And no consideration is given to other than them. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ الشَّيْخ أَمْثِلَ مِمَّا وَرَدَ فِي السُّنَّةِ مِنْ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجِلٍ. And then Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah goes on to mention examples of ahadith that affirm attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he goes on to mention examples of ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-ahadith al-sihah that affirm attributes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Meaning, now we affirm the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla also from the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the condition that the hadith is what? The hadith is maqbool, meaning it's accepted, sahih or hasan, wa talaqqaha ahl al-ma'rifah. And the scholars of hadith, they accept that hadith. Na'am. If the hadith is not accepted, authentic, we don't accept it. Ma naqbalu. No matter who mentions it. Khalas, we'll stop there inshallah. Tomorrow, we'll continue. And you'll notice, ikhwan, that the commentary will be less. Why? Because alhamdulillah, we've already discussed a number of these issues previously in the previous chapter. So it will be more concise than the previous lessons, and you will see that we will complete a lot more in a quicker period of time. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Any questions about anything that was mentioned?